Okay, we ready. Let's pick back up Titus chapter 1. And we left off at verse 5, but of course we will do a very brief review. I know they started off brief, but we're going to try to make it really brief.
We go where we need to go. Don't worry about it.
And I will say, because this is when Paul's writing to Titus and the Timothys, those are what they're called, the pastoral epistles. And, you know, I was thinking about it on the way over here is not just Paul's writings, but all scripture is designed for edification. That is, it's designed, the doctrine is designed to build in us what God wants in us, and that is to transform us into the image of His Son, that we'll be serviceable for Him, useful and fit for the Master's use. So He gives the doctrine. Like any job, you go to a job, they give you procedures that you follow, that they want you to perform as an employee, as a productive employee. Guidelines. And that's what doctrine is. It's designed to demonstrate or designed to transform us, to facilitate a change in us. It's designed to magnify Christ in us. So when you see it, it's not in chronological order. It's in doctrinal order. It's in edificational order. So when you get to the Timothy, Titus, Philemon, you're almost at the end. So those are things where you notice that he's writing to individuals who are over members of the body. Right? Before he's writing the churches and he's addressing the problems inside the churches. But at the end he's writing to individuals. Yes. Yes. I am recording. When we get to that, that's why when Paul writes, he's writing to Titus, he says, "For this cause I left you in Crete to set in order the things that are lacking." In verse 5, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain in elders every city as I had appointed thee." Now, I'm going to ask you this, as before we go forward. What do you think the things that are wanting are? That's the things that are lacking, right?
Doctrinal understanding.
It's doctrinal understanding, because there's some people there who, he says, just flip over chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He says this, "Holding fast," this is the end of the qualifications for the elders. He says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by what? Sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." And he says, I need you back there, because something's going wrong with the edification process. There's some people that are hindering the process.
Mixing doctrine,
corrupting doctrine. Who would that somebody be? Satan. And who's behind that?
Satan.
That's that. Because whatever God wants, you know the adversary is working in direct opposition to that. So if he wants you to be edified, then he doesn't. The adversary doesn't want you edified. If he wants you to understand what the will of the Lord is, the adversary doesn't want you to understand what the will of the Lord is. And his job is, if he wants you as a believer to be totally reliant and sufficient in Christ, then the adversary's job is for you to be totally reliant and sufficient
in
you. So just as you go forward, just keeping in mind, like I said, the big picture, and I'll say one more thing before we go forward, is this is all dealing with the heavenly places. You know that, right? Okay, just like God brought Israel out and was going to take them into the promised land and gave them some instructions that they were to function in, the same way is, the Israel in the wilderness, was that the kingdom or was that a shadow of the kingdom? It was a shadow. How do you know that? Okay, it's a shadow of things to come. I'm just going, here's the cross right here. I'm just going to draw two things right here. Here is the kingdom, right? So back here, God set up, he had a tabernacle, right? I'm just doing that so you, he had a temple, right? He had a tabernacle, he had a temple out here. There'll also be, but I actually was the tabernacle in the wilderness, or even the temple in the Old Testament, was it the real thing, or was it just an image of the things to come? And Melissa just said it was a shadow of things to come. It was a shadow, not the very substance. And why was it just a shadow and not the real?
It was foretelling. It was prophetic.
That's shadow. Because Christ had not yet performed the finished work. He had not yet, when we say finished work, number one, remember I told you about the big picture? Is this. The big picture is him reconciling things to heaven and earth to himself, right? And he's using us, the redeemed people. So first he has to, if he's going to do the reconciliation, he has to repossess those things, reconcile those things, and then he's got to put somebody in there. If you repossess something, you first have to depossess people. For example, if you were renting a house out, then you would have to evict someone before you can do what? Put a new person in. So, like Melissa just said, is when he dies and he says, now all power is given to me, then he has the right to do what?
Give it to whom he chooses.
To give it to whom he chooses, or evict some, or dispossess some. So all that was, for example, like Hebrews would say, if Joshua had given them rest, then there wouldn't be no need for a new covenant. So it was just a shadow. Now, I say it all. Yes. I said that to say this. If that's a shadow, if the tabernacle and the temple was a shadow for them in the kingdom program, then we look at the local assembly And that's a shadow of how we are to function as the body of Christ. So when you're reading Timothy's, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, the Philemon, when you're reading those books, there's lessons in there for us as members of the body of Christ. It's a shadow of things that God is showing you for your heavenly position. I'll give you an example. Because I know you're like, what is he talking about? Or just Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Or, let's see, I think it's 3, maybe 1. 3 and 1, actually. So, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 10. Start there. He says this. Verse 9. Okay. Verse 8. Having made a verse wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. How did he do that? Having made known unto us what? The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What's his good pleasure? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we, who's we? Body of Christ. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. When were you predestinated? Before anything. So automatically, you know, you're working with an all-wise God, right? He says, I'm letting you in on something that I've been thinking about, that I planned before the foundation of the earth. That's why he can say, I'm abounding to you in wisdom. He says, verse 12, that we, who's we? Should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You have the Holy, you and I have the Holy Spirit now as the earnest, as the as God's down payment, I'll say that, or his guarantee that there's something extra that I have for you. There's some more to come. He says, verse 14, it's the earnest of our what?
Inheritance.
Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. What's the redemption of the purchased possession?
Us, when he come in
here. Right. What's that? Blessed hope, new body. Give me a word. Give me a word.
Amen.
Oh, well, another word. Start with an A, too. Not amen, but it's a process that he calls. In Romans 8, he calls it what? The redemption of the purchased possession, he calls it what?
Atonement?
No.
I was about to say, 'cause that's wrong.
You know it's got. I said I wasn't going to do that anymore. It's called
adoption.
The adoption. That is to wit or to know the what? The redemption of our bodies. So he says, verse 14. Verse 15, wherefore I also. Now this is when Paul is writing. He says, I'm telling you this about God's plan. He's let us in on it. You have an inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the assurance, the guarantee of that inheritance. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his what?
Body,
the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay. I know you're saying, okay, so what? But he's giving you a snapshot. Now, if I said the local assembly was just like the temple and the tabernacle was a type, a shadow, right? So you think of the local assembly, it really starts with the family, where you have a man, right? And what? And a woman? And children? That's what he says. There's some things that I want this man to be as an elder. When you go into the, when Paul tells Titus to set in order the things that are lacking, he's saying, he's really laying a foundation for the local assembly. He says, first of all, there's some things I need this man to be as an elder or a bishop, overseer, or whatever you want, leader, pastor. He said there's, you want to make him the head. He says, and we're going to get to those verses, there's qualifications for him, for her, for them. When I say her, as the wife, and then as the children. Because these people are what make up what? The body. In particular, those are the people that make up a local assembly. When they come together, guess what's coming together? Huh? Say it again, one at a time. Guess what's coming? When we all meet, like we're meeting right now, guess who's coming together? The church, the body of Christ. Individuals. We're individuals. Karen and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, and he says, look at Timothy, 1 Timothy 3. The same thing Paul's telling Titus is the same thing he's telling Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:14. You know what's in chapter 3? 1 Timothy chapter 3? You know where how he starts off?
Mm-hmm.
How does he start off?
If a man desire
the office of a what?
Bishop.
He desires a good what?
Work.
A good work. So he says, so if any man wants to do that, just go ahead and let him do it.
No.
No. Oh, if any man wants to do it, let him bring his resume in.
No.
If any man wants to do it, let him take the class. Let him take the class and bring his grade list in.
Let him follow 1 Timothy 3.
If he wants to do it, he says, here are some qualifications that Titus or Timothy wants him to have. It's things what? Who be he?
Christ.
Jesus Christ, right. And it's God, right? These are things that God has set in order. He says, I want. So he gives the qualifications for this man. And verse 8, he says, verse
14.
Yeah. Now we're not in Titus proper, but it is Titus. Because even though the noun is changing, we're in Timothy instead of Titus, the principle is the same to both of them, the end result. But I want to read this before we go further. He says, verse 4, 3, 4, one that what?
Ruleth
well, what?
His own house.
His what?
His own house,
having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? How is she? Right. Listen. If he can't control, if he can't rule that body, if he can't rule that body, how can I trust him with that body? And if I can't trust him with that body, how can he rule that body? Okay? So he starts with this guy. He says, I need him to be blameless. Well, let's just save that for a little later. We'll get to that. Okay. Verse 8. He says, likewise must the deacons be this way. And he gives them some qualifications. Verse 11. He says, even so must their
wives.
He gives them qualifications. And verse 14. So Timothy, writing to Paul, he says, I'm just speaking hypothetically, so you can speak as a man. Timothy, he gets the letter from Paul, and he can say, well, Paul, what difference does it make how they are? Is it really that important? And he says, in verse 14, he says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church.
The house of God, which is the church.
The house of God, which is the church of
the living God.
Look, when he say the house of God, well, and you know this, he's not talking about brick and mortar.
He doesn't live enough.
He's talking about the house of God, he said, which is the church of the living God. Which is the what? Pillar? It's the foundation of the truth. Everything is built on the what?
Foundation.
On the foundation. So he says, this is, it's the foundation, the pillar and ground
of the
truth. And then he goes into his, and without controversy, he said that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, this is it's not in our lesson, so we will not get that deep into it. But some people say that that's what? Some people say that's Jesus. Some people say it's the body of Christ. Very simple answer to this before we move on. Why did, when Jesus came down in Philippians, it tells you why he came down. You know why he came down? You know what? We don't have to guess at that. Philippians. This is the abbreviated, I found a pen, it was in there. Okay. Philippians 2. Now, it said when Jesus, it said that great is the mystery of what? Godliness. God was what?
Manifest
in the flesh. Watch this. Verse 6, 2, 6. Who being in the form of God, who's that?
Jesus.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And, you know, actually I can stop right there. He took upon him the form of a what?
Servant.
And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he what?
Humbled
himself. We can stop right there. But we're going to keep going. He humbled himself and became
obedient
unto death. We can stop right there, right? Why did he come down?
Cross.
What?
Our sacrifice.
Our sacrifice.
To be obedient.
To be obedient. To be a what?
A servant.
Servant. So he says, now, wherefore, because he did that, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Sound like what we just talked about, doesn't it? That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, before we read those verses, you know what he said in chapter 2? He said to you members of the body of Christ, he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, just flip back. Philippians, just flip back to chapter, the beginning. He says, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same
love,
being of one accord and of
one mind.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other
better
than
themselves.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he gives you what we just read. So, he's writing to the Philippians. That's the church, Philippian church, made up of members, individual members, right? And he says, If you had to give me one word to describe that, what would you say?
Love.
If love, okay, same, close. Love. He said charity. Yeah, because charity is when you don't expect. You know, I was at the Walmart yesterday. I was going in to get some. I was going to get some fabric, and they were outside, And the lady said, would you like to give to the women and children's abuse fund or something like that? So my mind, and they had a little sticker on the bucket. And I said, you know, this could be a gimmick. Everybody with a bucket, that doesn't mean it's legit, right?
Right.
But I said, okay, that's not my concern. Do I care about women and children?
Yeah.
Of course I do. So I gave, I don't care what their motive is. I gave because that's what my interest is for abused women and children. So I gave, and you know, I didn't think twice about it. So when he says, when you say charity, is that's what he means when I say he got his side. You can't give with expecting something on the back end. We do. Don't we?
Yeah.
or multiply it, or on the front end.
If I love you, you better love me back.
That's why, look, that's right. We still have each other on the performance, right? If you do this, then I'll do this. If you don't do that, then I'm not going to do that. Not y'all. I'm talking about other people. But that's what, because really, it ends up as you serving. It ends up as you giving. Right. So he says, I need you to think like he did, like my son. You say that? That's too lofty. He said, that's too lofty for me, Lord. So when he, okay, back to Titus. So when he pulls in, the members of the body, that's why when you start with the family, you start seeing the first thing he says, the first word that he gives, and I'm skipping some lessons, but the first lesson, that first words that he gives is what? Submitting. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Y'all remember reading that?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to read it? No. Okay. No. See, she didn't submit herself to me. You want to read it? Nope. And because she said that, it was for the benefit, I'm going to let you read it anyway. In Titus, or Timothy. Or Timothy. Ephesians, that is. It's in Ephesians, actually. 5:21. Thank you. Now, he says, we're going to jump through here. Look at verse 1 first. Be ye therefore followers of God as what?
Dear children.
And walk
in love
as your example. As Christ also hath what? Loved us. What did we just say those two words were? We said charity and what else?
Service.
Yep, service. I said, we wrote it up there. You're going to end up
unconditionally.
You're going to end up.
That's
true. What? Yeah, no, that's. You're going to end up giving what? What else? Giving and I checked it. You got it on your notes right there. But anyway, he says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself as a for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Then he goes down in verse 14. He says, wherefore, he that he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, this is what it, when you filled with the Spirit, it doesn't mean what you see on TV. Running down the aisle, jumping over benches and speaking in tongues, so-called tongues, and all the stuff that you...
Filled with the Word. Filled with the doctrine, filled with the knowledge, filled with
that. Right. I like, he says, be not
drunk,
unwise, but you can be another un, but understanding, right? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we're going to find out, what is the will of the Lord? He says, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Remember that? All things? Okay. You got to love that. Yes. I don't know if y'all just make those connections from previous lessons, probably. So anyway, he says, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 21. First thing he says, what? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And he says, wives, what? Submit. 23. He says, for the husband is the head. And then he tells the husband, 25, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then he goes down to verse 32. He says about all those qualifications and things or description. He says, this is a great, he said, for this cause, man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. What's a great mystery? Say it again. He says, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and what?
Cleave
to his wife. And the two of them would be what? He said, this is the great mystery. What's a great mystery? How 1 + 1 = what?
One.
He said, this is a great mystery. But I speak, he said, concerning Christ in the church. So, remember, I was telling you, I said, all these relationships are examples. They're types of the true. So he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay. But it may have been a little off track, but we just came through the back door. It's when he says the husband and the wife, he says this man is the head. He's like who? He's like, right, he's like Christ. Submit as unto the Lord. So she's to reverence him as what? As Christ. And he's to love her like who?
Christ.
Like Christ. Now this, if they're at home and then they have kids, right? They're supposed to bring them up how?
And then nurture them and then
so they're supposed to listen to him like who? Like him. So as members of the body, we're like he says, you're like dear children. So I'm supposed to listen to the head like who? Okay. So he says you start with the family and then you move out to the local assembly. So the first thing Paul says is he says some things going wrong in this house.
It's out of order.
It's out of order. And he said the first thing you do, back to Titus.
Family is kind of like the foundation for the assembly.
That's right. That's exactly what. Because who's, listen, you know why the local assembly messed up? Because I'm messed up.
No.
You know why I'm messed up?
Because
I'm not listening to the head. When I come to that door, what do you think I'm bringing in here? Besides doctrine. If I'm not reading it, guess what I'm bringing in here?
Flesh.
What'd you say? What I did
at Lowe's today.
What I did at Lowe's, right. I'm bringing in my vanity. Right. How I think it ought to be done. That's what I'm bringing in. If I don't understand what the will of the Lord is, guess what I'm going to pass on to you?
The message of Frank.
A message according to me, right. The gospel, my gospel. Which is not sound words. So if Paul, he said, if you don't know how to run this, why would I put you over a local assembly? Sit down. What's your name, babe? What's your name? Give me initials. Give me the initials. Okay. See, that's okay. You know what? That's a kid, right? So, but if I said, I was going to give her a name, but if I told her, if I said, sit down, and she doesn't, then she's not what? She's not respecting the head. So my order, my guidelines, it's already what? We're done. Because now the kids, that was Israel's curse, where he said the day is coming where the kids and the women gonna run the house. Not you. And when that day comes, you know I'm gone. When God says, you know I'm gone. When the natural order has been turned upside down. When the natural order is not. So he tells Titus, go back.
Set things in order.
And set things back in the proper order. And it starts with who? Putting the head back on. Putting the head back on the body. You know, when my great grandmother, we used to kill chickens when we visited. She used to kill chickens for dinner. And she put them down on the block, a little wood block. She said, no, you hold them now. You hold them down. Wow. And if you chop the neck off, and you know what they'd be doing? They still be, they still running. They still moving.
Run around like chickens with
and them. She said, she said, don't worry, right? That's where you get that from. And she said, don't worry about it. It'd be dead after a while. So, you know what? When you find something running and the head is not on it, don't worry about it. It'd be dead after a while.
Dr. Rogers used to say something with no head is dead and something with two heads is a freak.
Oh, yeah, right. And that's, you know what? Look, that's how the body is now. Is okay, and we really get into it. That's why, even in the marriage, is if you got two heads, right? If you got two heads in the house,
freak.
So if I come in, it's like I cut it off. My wife come in, she cut it off. Then I come back, I cut it off. Then she come back, I cut it off. How long are you going to do that before somebody says, hey, this is my way. It's going to be this way, or it's going to be what? That way. Now, if I don't care about the order, then who wins?
She doesn't. No. Nobody does.
Nobody.
True.
We're right here. We're stuck. Mm-hmm. But if I say, you know what? I said, well, look, I'm the switch cutter offer in here. Or cutter owner. So if I cut it on or off, guess what? If you submit to Thessalonians, hold your hand in Titus, back to Thessalonians.
Yeah, but when it comes to thermostats, isn't that where you're supposed to be sacrificial on the death?
You can compromise on the thermostat, but don't compromise on the doctrine.
They're right. Now, if I want to be warm and submit, but it's still going to be my choice to do that. If I value and esteem her over my comfort, then I'll make that choice. But you don't make me make that choice. Or you don't withstand me till I give up. I do it willingly. Don't coerce me or command me. Okay. First Thessalonians. He says, chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by our authority.
The Lord Jesus.
He says, first of all, we're appealing to who?
Our head.
Our, when I say, look, anything I ask you, it's going to be on the grounds of the head. Let me rephrase that. Anything, when this is Paul writing to members of a local assembly, he says, anything I ask you, Thessalonians, or Thessalonians, it's going to be on the grounds of the head. I'm speaking. I'm appealing to you from the head, as both of us being subject to the head. Okay. He says that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please us.
God.
Huh? Us, No, us.
Oh, received of us how ye also.
How you are. No, you're right. As you have received of us, you received of us how you are to walk and to please God. Not us. That you would abound what? More and more. For you know what commandments we gave you according to our own will.
By the Lord.
According to what? The Lord Jesus. Now, the only reason I say that is because, again, when you're reading scripture and you're reading the commands of the head, as members of the body, you can't look at that as somebody else telling you to do those things.
And so Paul wasn't magnifying himself, he was magnifying his office.
His office. So, and here's what he says, look. He says, verse 6.
And he also said, if a man be spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. He says, now, that no man go six, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Look, you get information from the head by proxy. I'm just a representative, right? Why are you mad at me? Have I become your enemy? Because I delivered the message? See, when my mailman come and he give us the bills, I don't go out there and pick a fight with him. I don't. I don't come here with the bill next week. You come back with a bill, see what I got for you. What is it? He said, look, I don't work for these people. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. So he says this, for God hath not called us, verse 7, unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but who?
God.
But God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now, a reason I went to that verse is because he that despises, if you lightly esteem the commandment, you're not lightly esteeming me. You're lightly esteeming God. Because
was it Samuel that the Lord said that they've not rejected thee, they've rejected me?
That I should not rule over them. Interesting word. Rule over him. So, that's why when Paul, now we're in Titus proper. he says, that's why when he starts off, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, he gives all the thing for the faith of God's elect, for the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. He says, look, I got a message from God for you to listen to. And if you do this, the outcome of your behavior will be well pleasing to God. And he says, and I got this message by commandment from God our Savior to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, which is Christ. That's the same foundation. Your Lord is my Lord. We believe the same Lord. We all believe the same Lord here, right? Mm-hmm. So the appeals that I make, then you know that it's not me, right?
Right.
It's who?
It's God.
It's God. He says, to my own son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he says, verse 5, he says, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. He says, now you just go repeat the process. The same way that I put you here, ordained you or put you in place as an elder or overseer, and really he's the head, he would be the head of that assembly. He says, you do the same. He says, I appointed you, and I do this, he says, in every city. So every city has what? Local assemblies. And he teaches the same thing everywhere in what? Every city. Wouldn't it be like-minded? Wouldn't it be, you think about this, wouldn't it be nice wherever you went, wherever you dropped in, if it was 3,000 miles away, that you go in and...
You were amongst graceful believers.
Same message, same belief, same everything.
But what I'll say to you, you can go somewhere next week and they'll tell you the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm. Every other block.
For example, I guess I had to give you, give you something that's practical. Where you say the husband is the head and men are head of local assemblies. Mm-hmm. Men are head of local assemblies. So you may leave here and next week you go into a local assembly that's headed by a woman.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be going there.
And they say, this is 2018. That's your interpretation. Now, watch this. He says, set in order the things that are lacking. And the things are, Paul said this in to another leader. He said this. He says, he's sending this man to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. There's a lot of things today that believers are lacking in their faith. When I say lacking in their faith, I don't mean that they can't believe. When I say lacking in their faith, I'm talking about what? They're lacking in their doctrine. Because Paul just told you that I have the doctrine for you to believe. So if they're lacking in faith, then they're lacking in what?
Knowledge.
In knowledge of what?
Paul's doctrine.
Look, if it's not done this way, it's not right. Not because I say that.
God's word says it.
Because Paul says, I am... verse 3, he says, but hath in due times manifested his word through what?
Preaching.
Which is committed unto
me. According to the commandment.
He says, listen to me. I have the due time message. With due time, that's right now. And as long as it's this time, it's me. And when I'm off the scene, it's him. That's what John said. He said, it's me right now, but it's going to be him. And when Jesus left, he said, it's me. But when I leave, it's you, not you. When I say you, who was the next? The 12. He says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you. And you know what? Watch this. We're going to stop with this. Luke 12. Wow. See?
It's good.
No, that's somebody who will remain nameless. I don't have one of my things scratched off here that I wanted you to know today.
I'm
on my list.
I was listening to a message by Tom Brochet yesterday, and he was talking about how almost every church today claiming to be Christian, had, you know, baptism, but that's, you know, first thing you need to do, you know, your obedience, whatever. He says, but yet none of the churches can agree on why you do it, how you do it, when you do it, who does it, but yet they all say you got to do it. I mean, it's just crazy.
It gets done, but by the Holy Spirit.
Right, and the one they need, they don't have anything to do with.
Right.
Luke 12, he said this. We just quoted it, but he says, verse 32, Luke 12, 32, he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And before that, you know what he says? Where is it? He says, here we go. Verse 41, he says, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing so." Now, you notice that verse, he says, "Who then is that wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler?" The word steward, what?
Oh, I was just thinking, depending on who was in here, they might say, the 12 governing board of the, you know, because that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, that's. But he says, the steward is the house ruler. And he said, who shall make ruler is the same thing that Titus says. He says, to ordain. And he puts him over the local assembly. That means he made him a ruler. He made him. You notice in Timothy, he said that the local assembly was the house of the living God, right?
Right.
And then he puts Titus over the local assembly. He says, you're the what? You're the house ruler over this local assembly. Now we call them pastor. That's why they now they. I was talking to one guy. He said, and they do this. You know, they do this. They bring the pastor water and orange juice and tea, and it's got a special napkin on it. It got to be on a special tray. Like, it's just orange juice, man. It really is. They elevate him to a position where they where they overdo the authority and underplay the message, because he'll say, touch not God's anointed.
Yeah.
God's gonna get you. And he's thinking, now here's a man who is not even subject to God's message.
Like those that wear robes to make them appear more holy than the rest of the people.
Because he's going to end up being a server, not the served. He's going to end up being the giver, not given to. He shouldn't be expecting that. Okay, so, but the main thing is the doctrine that he's giving. And the doctrine that he gives, is going to teach the people the same thing. Because he's duplicating himself. He's triplicating Christ. Just like Christ was subject to the Father, he says, you be subject to Christ. And then if you put a man in the position, then you're going to expect him to be what? Subject to Christ just like you are. That's why he said, look, you teach Timothy, you teach this to faithful men who shall be able to what?
Teach others.
Teach them what?
Same exact
the doctrine.
What does the doctrine do? Produces godliness. What's godliness? You worship and serve him first.
Right.
and then they come next, and then you're last. And you're like, that's the wrong church for me. I don't want to be in that church. But that's the church, because it's preparing you for
heavenly places.
That's out. What do you think you're going to be doing out there? What you want to do?
Replacing principles.
Yeah. We think we're going to, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can go see.
So-and-so.
Really? Oh, it's going to be really about you then, right? When you get there?
We're going to be judging him.
He said,
all
right, you get to work, do you do what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You might, but it won't be that way for long if they catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, we're going to stop there because go home, read Titus. I said last week, you can do it in 10 minutes, tops. You read Titus every day. For the next, till we come back, and take your notes, go over the notes, and piece together what that guy was saying, meditate on it, and then we'll see how far we get past verse 5 next week. We're going to get the qualifications for the man over the assembly. As we go forward. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for each person here and the families represented. We just thank you for recording these things for our edification, for our enlightenment. And above all, we thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. We ask these things in his name. Amen.